What?
I'm not going to be sure Sunday. I'm still going to be in Florida.
People are upset when I don't send the recording.
And all of a sudden, I'm Michael again. Huh? Okay, so last year, a friend of mine forwarded me instructions that he received from his Hasidic cousins. And anyone here with Hasidic background, with strong Hasidic minhagim? Oh, okay. Okay, so let's see. Maybe you heard of this. His Hasidic cousin sent him an email or a family WhatsApp chat, and that this week is Parshas Vayera, and therefore they should dip their challah in the honey. Does this sound familiar? No? They should dip the challah in the honey, and they should wish everyone around the table a good Kibbutz Tiyar. That's for Parshas Vayera. That's the minhag. I don't know which Hasidus, I don't know what strand of Hasidus, but that's the minhag that he said. So he asked me if I knew what was behind it. So what occurred to me, that the reason for the practice is because Kriyas HaTorah for Rosh Hashanah is the Akedah. So we read the Akedah this week, so it's the same Kriyas HaTorah, so we sort of re-experience Rosh Hashanah through the Akedah. The truth is, we focus on the Akedah this week, we focus on the Akedah in Rosh Hashanah, but we really focus on the Akedah each and every day. Right? In Karbanos, every day, we focus on the Akedah, and even if you don't say it, but it's there, it's in the Seder, the Zchus HaAkedah keeps Klal Yisrael going for a very long time. So while some of the tests that Avraham Avinu had to endure in his life are really only alluded to beremiza in the Torah, or kazdim only beremiza, if that, when it comes to the ultimate test, Akedas Yitzchak, the Torah is very, very clear. Many, many psukim. And not only does the Torah tell us the whole story with all the details, it introduces the story by telling us just how big a test it was going to be. Vayhi achar dvarim eila v'helukim nisas Avraham. That you should know what you're about to learn is how Hashem tested Avraham Avinu. The Ibn Ezra raises the following question. How old was Yitzchak at the time of the Akedah? That's not his question, but how old was Yitzchak at the time of the Akedah? So Chazal tell us he was, 37 years old. Says the Ibn Ezra, in his unique style, Chazal amru, shay Yitzchak kasher nekad ben shloshim v'sheva shanim. Chazal tell us that Yitzchak was 37 years old at the time of the Akedah. V'im divrei kabbalah nekabel. If they have such a Kabbalah, what can I do? I can't fight it, right? So they have such a Kabbalah, what can I tell you? But umiderach svara ein zenachov. Logically, totally incorrect. Because if he was 37 years old, that means he was a willing participant, he was an adult who made the decision to give his life on that mizbeach. V'yascharo kaful mischar aviv shemasar atzmo beritzona l'shchita. He would have gotten twice the schar of Avraham Avinu. And all the Torah emphasizes how great Avraham Avinu was at the Akedah. Yitzchak should have been the one that's emphasized. V'ein b'kasuf mu'uma al Yitzchak. And the Torah gives us nothing about Yitzchak's self-sacrifice, about Yitzchak's mesiras nefesh, about Yitzchak's tzidkus through the Akedah. It's all about Elokim Nisas Avram, that Avram was tested. Yitzchak was also tested. So the Ibn Ezra says it's difficult to believe that Yitzchak was an adult at the time of the Akedah, because if he were an adult, it would be unthinkable that the Torah wouldn't give him the lion's share of the credit for the Akedah. It was his life on the line. It wasn't Avram's life on the line. However, Chazal tell us that he was 37 years old. So then that begs the question, why is it that the Torah emphasizes Avram's role in the Akedah rather than Yitzchak's? Now the Zohar seems to address the issue by saying that the Torah does indeed give Yitzchak credit. How does the Torah give Yitzchak credit? In the following manner, when it says, V'elukim Nisa Avraham, it doesn't say V'elukim Nisa, it's Es Avraham. And whenever you have an S, it's Larabos something, right? That's Shimon HaMsuni and Chemi HaMsuni, Dorosh Kalas and Shabbat Torah. Finds something to learn from an S. For example, Kabeid Es Avicha Vesimecha, S. The Rabbi says Chicha Gadol, right? That you have to honor a Chicha Gadol. More closer to home with Hilchos Nida. Verachat Es Besaro B'mayim. Es Hatafel B'Besaro. The Rabbi says Haseir, that your hair also has to go in the mikvah. Es is always the Rabbi something. Says the Zohar that Velukim Nisa Es Avraham Vida Yitzchak. The S is Larabos Yitzchak. That's Yitzchak. Yitzchak was also included. But the truth is, that doesn't really answer the problem. It just highlights the problem. Because if that's how we are told about Yitzchak's Nisayon, that it's a Riboy with S every time, consistently, especially the two examples I just gave you, where we're marbis something with S, it's always es hatafel. It's always that which is, the es is always not the core, you know, focus. It's always that which is tafel, that which is secondary. So it's really as if by the Torah alluding to Yitzchak with the word es, it's really telling us, what the Torah is really telling us is that Yitzchak was not the primary source of the Nisayon, that it was really Avraham who was being tested. So the question is, how do we make sense of that? A 37-year-old man willing to give his life on the Akedah, how do we make sense of that? Furthermore, in Torah Shebal Peh, we find that the emphasis is reversed, because the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah says that Amar Kodesh Baruch Hu, Tiku Lufanei B'Shofar Shel Ayil, that on Rosh Hashanah you should blow a Shofar Shel Ayil, Kedei She'eskor Lechem Akedas Yitzchak. It refers to it specifically as Akedas Yitzchak ben Avram, Umalani Aleim Kilu Ikadam Atzmechem Lufanei. And I will view it as if Ikadam Atzmechem, meaning which role will you have been viewed to play? It doesn't say Umalani Aleichem Kilu Akadta as Bincha Lufanei. Kilu, you were willing to be Shochet as Bincha. No! Umalani Aleichem Kilu Ikadam Atzmechem Lufanei, meaning I'll view you as this generation's Yitzchak when you blow a Shofar Shel Ayil. The emphasis being on Yitzchak, that it's the Gevaldika Zuchus of Yitzchak that we try to recall in each generation, not the Zuchus of Avram. Normally, Torah Shebal Peh, you would imagine, takes its cues from Torah Shebichsav, but over here, it's like a total shift in emphasis from Avram to Yitzchak. In the aftermath of the Akedah, Hashem tells Avram that he's finally proven himself. Ata yodati ki yirei Elokim ata. Now I know that you have Yirah Shemayim. Now, I understand that everybody gets judged on their own level, and that there are people that are, you know, tzaddikim are judged, kuchot asara, and whatever else. But let's say the Akedah never happened. Like, where does Avraham Avinu go down in history if the Akedah never happened? Would we say, not so much Yirah Shemayim, you know? All he did was jump in a fire and leave his homeland and spend his entire life preaching monotheism and the word of God. And, you know, the Ata Yadati Kirei Elokim Atzis is a famous kasha, right? How could it be that it's only Ata Yadati? He would have been one of the greatest men in history without the Akedah. He literally discovered God. He risked his own life on several occasions. He gave up everything he had for God. The word Ata seems somewhat insulting. You know, imagine you go out of your way to be kind and good to someone and whatever, and then, you know, like after giving hours of your time and energy and effort, you're walking out of the room and you open the door and the person says, oh, now I see that you like me. Like, now I just gave you, like, you know, meaning that's insulting. It's insulting. Everything that he did, now, Ata Yadati. So Rabbi Stein, in his Chamudei Daniel, has a beautiful Mahalik. First he quotes, happens to be a beautiful Imre Yosef, which is not what we're going to focus on, but just to mention, he quotes an Imre Yosef that has a beautiful explanation of the flipped emphasis in Torah Shebichsav and Torah Shebal Peh on the Akedah, namely, that Avraham Avinu received the command of the Akedah directly from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Yitzchak received the command of the Akedah from Avram. So Avraham Avinu received the command of the Akedah as a type of Torah Shebichsav. It was direct to Var Hashem. Yitzchak only got it through Avraham Avinu, so it was a kind of Torah Shebal Peh. So when each one is going to emphasize, you know, the character of the Akedah, the Torah Shebichsav is going to emphasize Avraham Avinu, because Avraham Avinu's experience of Akedah was a Torah Shebichsav experience, whereas Yitzchak's experience of Akedah was a Torah Shebal Peh experience. I thought that was beautiful, but that's not what we're going to focus on. Rabbi Stein suggests the following Mahalik in Chamudei Daniel, which is a safer you should all have because it's amazing. He points out everybody is built differently. For some people, chesed comes very naturally, while you know, waking up for davening seems impossible for them. For other people, Talmud Torah seems easy. Tzedakah is very challenging. To part with their money is very difficult. Some people just don't care about money and they're willing to part with all of it, but you know, get them to learn for 5 minutes and they go out of their mind. You know, everyone has their own challenges even within chesed, you know, even within, you know, certain categories. Some people, like, they can learn Gemara, they can learn Lamdas for hours and hours and hours, but you open up a Tanakh and their brain just shuts down. You know, like, they can't focus. Within chesed, I was talking to someone, we have, like, this chevra, a lot of rabbanim that are kidney donors, especially in the modern Orthodox world, and one rabbi said, you know, the kidney donation, that was no big deal. Like, I got surgery and whatever, and I was fine a couple of weeks later. But, like, staying at the shul kiddush and schmoozing with people, like, oh my god, like, blow my brains out. Like, meaning everyone has their own nekuda, you know, that's challenging for them and that's not challenging for them. You know, going out of my way and call the almana on Erev Shabbos and try to make conversation, like, that's, I'm just so shy. It's hard for me to do that, even though that's obviously also, you know, that's part of the job. So everyone has their own challenges. Everyone has their own personalities of what comes easier to them, what comes more challenging for them. There is a major discussion in Bali Musar and Bali Machshava around the time of Yom Noraim, where should a person start with their tshuva process? Rabbi Reisman gave a whole shiur about this year. Is it better to start with what you're good at, what comes naturally to you, and say, you know what, I'm gonna do tshuva from a position of strength. I'm gonna take what I'm good at and I'm gonna become great at that. The stuff that I'm not good at, you know, I'm never going to be great at anyway, you know, so that's not a good place to focus my energy. Or is it better to do a shviras hamidos, to take those things that you're not naturally good at, those things that are more challenging to you, and to sort of break those midos? So that's a discussion about a strategic mahalich toward Yom Noraim. But in life in general, in Avodas Hashem in general, we don't have the luxury to say, you know what, I'm just not good at certain things, and therefore I'm going to ignore those. I'm going to let those things fall by the wayside. We don't have that luxury, because I may be really great at, I don't know, 10 mitzvos, but there's still 603 others. So I can't just say, well, I'm really good at these 10, so these are going to be my 10. You know, I have to be a Targum Mitzvah Jew. You know, I have to do everything. So there are these two strategies, whether you want to focus on what you're good at or focus on, but when it comes to Shmiras HaMitzvos, a person cannot discard those mitzvos that are challenging for them. You have to take the approach that you have to identify your weaknesses so that you can know what to work on. Lahavdil, when Michael Jordan was a rookie, a reporter commented, he was a basketball player, Michael Jordan, before your time, but whatever, he was really good. So a reporter commented to him, you know, Michael, you can score at will, and that's amazing. He was like, as a rookie, he was averaging over 30 points a game or something. But then you just go back to the other end of the floor and you just give it up because you're a lousy defender. So whatever you score, you just give up on the other end of the floor. And Michael Jordan took that comment and wore it like a chip on his shoulder for the rest of his career. And he worked like a dog on defense and to improve his defense. And he was Defensive Player of the Year. I'm sure you can look it up, like 6, 7, 8 times. Like he became like the best defensive player in the NBA. So like, meaning that and lahavdil, that's really what we're supposed to do. When someone points out a weakness, to say, no, if that's my weakness, then I better own that and I better improve on that. The purpose of the Akedah was for Avram and for Yitzchak to each step out of their comfort zone. Avraham Avinu was naturally inclined toward chesed, and he was called upon to do the exact opposite of chesed, to not only not help somebody, not only not perform a kindness with somebody, but to kill somebody, and not only to kill somebody, but the person that he most wanted to do chesed with, the person that he most wanted to just shower with love and care and affection. Yitzchak was inclined toward din, and he had to do the ultimate chesed. He had to stretch his neck out on the Mizbeach and agree to let Avram shecht him so Avram Avinu can fulfill the Tzivoy Hashem. There's no greater act of chesed than to sacrifice yourself for somebody else to be able to succeed. So, in fact, Rabbi Stein points out from one of the Svarim, if you look at the conversation between Avram and Yitzchak, maybe it's not a coincidence that leading up to the Akedah, each one identifies with the other. Right? Vayomer, Avi. Yitzchak says, Avi. And Avram's response, Hineni, Vini. That an Avram identifies by saying Bini. Each one is saying, oh, now I get what it means to be Avi. Now I get what it means to be a Bal Chesed, to be Avram Avinu. And Avram says, Hineni Vini. Now I get what it means to be a Yitzchak, to be someone whose Koach is a little bit different, whose Koach is one of Din and one of Avoda. So why does the Torah emphasize Avram Avinu's test? Because the test for him may have been a greater Nisayon, because it involved more going outside of his comfort zone, going outside of what came naturally to him, of what he normally excelled at. It would be like Michael Jordan playing baseball or something, which, you know. The Torah Shebaal Peh, on the other hand, is focused on some jokes you make, like you could tell like the age of the people. But okay, so the it was a big fiasco. I don't know. You can look it up, whatever. But the Torah Shebaal Peh, on the other hand, is focused on the actual Mesiras Nefesh, which is being done by Yitzchak. So the Torah Shebaal Peh emphasizes the test element. A test is defined by what doesn't come naturally to you. The Torah Shebaal Peh is focused on the Zchus and the Mitzvah, which was clearly greater from Yitzchak's perspective, as the Ibn Ezra points out. If Hashem wanted to know about the tzidkus of Avram, yeah, he had all the evidence he needed with the first 9 tests and with Avram Avinu's whole life. But if Hashem wanted to know about the yiras elukim of Avram, the ability to relate to HaKadosh Baruch Hu as a yorei and as a god of din, only the Akedah shows that incredible capacity of Avram Avinu. And that's part of the avodah in life, is to sort of find how to fill in the blanks in our own personalities and the weaknesses in our own personalities. One way that we do that is we try to find an Ezer Kenegdo. You know, Ezer Kenegdo has a connotation of somebody who helps us achieve our potential by not being just like us. I remember when I was in DRS, they had the faculty in-service day once where they did like a personality profile of, and the way the guy was describing it was that that people could be divided into 2 categories. He described it as, there are people that, he used Microsoft programs to describe the way people are. He said there are people that are Excel personalities and people that are Word personalities. An Excel personality is like, you know, everything's got to fit into a box and it has to all add up. And if it doesn't add up, then I go crazy. It has to, you know, like, you know, they're like those, what are they, type A, right? And Word personalities, it's free flowing and it's a document that could go on and on and on. And it just doesn't, you know, there's no boxes, there's no outline, it just goes and it's whatever, and it's flowery and it's, and there are these 2 different types of personalities. And he said most often when he's done this with married couples, he's found that one is an Excel personality and the other is a Word personality. That's often the way that these things work. Not always, but often the way that these things work. So when Eliezer looks for a wife for Yitzchak, he specifically looks for somebody who excels in the area of Chesed, because that would perfectly complement the Gvura of Yitzchak. The household will function at a high level because opposite midos are each given an opportunity to shine, and that's something that's worth looking at. It's something that you could also more easily admire, because you know the halacha is, the Rambam writes that one is supposed to be oev es ishto kigufo umechabda yoser migufo. Why is oev kigufo? So Rav Eliyahu Goldberg quoted from, I forgot where, that ahava, the gematria of ahava is echad, right? Ahava means that we are one, that we're totally identified with each other. Mechabed, to be mechabed someone, is not to identify with and say that we're one, but it's to recognize what makes them different and special, what makes them greater than you. You're mechabed someone who you're not on the same. So ahava, why is it that mechabda yosem yigufo, but only ahava kigufo? It's not that because kavod is more important than ahava. That's the definition. Ahava means it's kigufo. It's that we're one. Mechabda means that you're yoser mimeni, that you are more than me, that you are greater than, you are more than what I am. That's what kavod is. To recognize those milos that the other person has and to appreciate them specifically because you struggle with them. That's ultimately part of the avoda of a Jew, is to realize what I struggle with and to realize what I need to learn from and what I should hold up as something that I respect and that I admire. And one of the great challenges Rabbanim have, many of you, God willing, will be Rabbanim, and everyone will be in some position of influence, is that a lot of times Rabbanim have to have opposite midos simultaneously. Right? A rabbi is supposed to be a friend, and a family member, and also someone who pushes people to become better. And normally, if somebody, I don't know, shushes you in shul, you hate that guy. You know, he's not your friend. The rabbi has to be strong and soft. He has to be patient and he has to be driven. He has to impose his will and also be receptive to the will of others. And that's part of the avoda. It's you know, it's a wonderful thing when you see people like grow into that role. But part of the avoda is to somehow find the midos that come naturally to me, but utilize all the midos in order to be able to inspire Klal Yisrael to do the same, to utilize all of their midos in order to be able to serve Hashem properly. Okay.